We've got our first Survivor exit interview of the season coming up. Stay tuned after the exit interview. I got a exciting offer for people who are considering becoming a patron here at the start of the new Survivor season. Stay tuned for that after our exit interview with the first person voted out of Survivor 39. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and boy, I am so excited to be back here on the Exit Interview podcast. The first time since Mike White talked to me on the David versus Goliath Exit Interview special, I am doing Exit Interviews for the first time here in 2019. Very excited to be back, and we're going to talk to the first person who got kicked off of Survivor. I almost said David versus Goliath, Survivor Island of the Idols in this episode. So Ronnie Barta is going to be calling in here in just a moment, just to give you some backstory why I might be screwing up the Survivor seasons. Late night last night, Taryn Armstrong and I went out to the Big Brother house. We were getting our Big Brother finale interviews. We left the CBS lot around 1 a.m., came home, were editing video all night long. Scott St. Pierre was editing the podcast audio. I ended up watching this episode around 4 o'clock in the morning, and it held my attention. Good episode. Really excited to talk about it more later on today. So that's what's going on here. Of course, big thanks to Stephen Fishback and Dominic Abate for the know-it-alls. I mean, Stephen, he's on the payroll for every week. But I mean, Dominic Abate, what a great job coming in and doing a recap of the episode. I've listened to most of that at this point. Also, Brent Wolgamont has our coverage of the Big Brother 21 finale. That's all up on robiswebsite.com. I will be speaking with Reem Daly also tomorrow, so that's coming up as well. And then plenty more going on after the weekend. We've got the Wiggle Room, plus we'll be getting back into this week in Survivor history with Jordan Kalish. That's going to be part of the Wiggle Room, so be on the lookout for that. We're going to be talking with the host of our brand new Masked Singer recap. Pooya Zanbakili is going to be our guest for that. So lots of great stuff coming up this weekend, plus the B&B, Why Ronnie Lost. That's all going to be on robhiswebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robhiswebsite.com/iTunes. And that's Bury the Lead, but I will also be talking with Taryn Armstrong later today about this episode of Survivor, the Survivor 39 premiere. Taryn is here in person. We're going to break it all down. He just finished watching the episode as well. So we're ready to go. That's going to be coming up later on in the day today. But first, let's get into talking with our first person out for the season. Let's bring in Ronnie Barta. Ronnie, are you there?
Rob, what's up, buddy?
Ronnie, good morning. In my wildest dreams, I did not think that I'd be talking to you on this day, but probably not you either, right?
Not me either. Is this live right now?
We are recording. We are not live.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I meant recording. I'm sorry. Yeah, bro. Like, listen, first of all, it was one of my dreams to be on your podcast, just to let you know that. To be able to speak to you at some point about the game is a bucket list thing that I wanted
Thank
to be
you.
Happening like this. Of course not, obviously. And I appreciate you thinking the same, that this wouldn't be the scenario where we'd be speaking. And this is just, bro, I just want to like jump through the window. Right? I mean, not
right,
jump through the window.
Right.
Just from the second
In
floor,
perspective.
You know, and break a leg. Or
right.
Yeah.
Now, Ronnie, you're a poker guy. So I want to ask you, was this just a bad beat, or upon reflection, do you feel like that you misplayed the hand on Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, a combination of things. Definitely, there's like our boy Christian Hubecki said in the past, in New Survivor, there's tons of variance. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things going on when it comes to idols and advantages, the makeup of the tribe. You know, if I was in other tribes, situations, scenarios, just who they align you with. I mean, who they put you out there with, right? Definitely a bad beat. I mean, in the first, like you, as you know, in the first 3 days or few days, it's really anything can happen. And it's like a game of Russian roulette. Right. for sure. I think that it was definitely an unlucky situation, but obviously I'm going to own my game and say that I made a few mistakes out there. Of course, you know, I didn't, you know, form the relationships I needed to make in those crucial 3 days. When you hit the beach, you better get in where you fit in real quick. Cause mm-hmm. if you don't, you're going to be in the chopping block, as you yeah. know, and yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty brutal. I mean, like, it's a combination of things. It could have been any one of the three of us, you know, and unfortunately when it was time to put the boats out there, my name was just like, you know, anybody but me type scenario. And it's just really unfortunate because Rob, I had a lot to say out there, bro. I had so many things
I
to
believe
do,
it.
Yeah. We'll get along to a lot later in this conversation about other things as well. But yeah, I had so much to say.
Yeah, but it seemed like I was surprised when I watched the episode because you seemed like that you had it down, that's how Survivor works, that there was a seven and there was a three that wandered off and you were part of the seven and it said, okay, well, we're voting out somebody from the three, but that's not what happened. And I wanted to see if we could get into, well, why did that not work when that's usually is how it goes?
Well, here's the thing, you know, it was basically three versus, like, there was seven of us for sure, and Elaine, Vince, and Tom walked off, and they were kind of the outcasts early on, and as you've seen, as shown in the first few minutes of the episode, they showed that. Going, you know, what you didn't see is that, basically, there were some conversations had between me and Chelsea, where Chelsea approached me, and she said, hey, you know, I like you. I think that you look like somebody who knows what they're doing, knows about the game of Survivor. I can feel that from you. Let's work. Let's talk together. Let's have a talk. And it was in front of Aaron and a couple others. And I really wanted to have a private conversation with me and her. And I made a huge mistake and like didn't get to that right away and kind of waved her off as I was trying to, I was me and Aaron were trying to make fire with bamboo. And we were like on our 30th attempt, okay? And as you know, we were just, it's so exhausting.
Yeah.
And I was feeling extremely messed up, bro. And I like kind of waved her off and she got like kind of, I think, pissed off about that. And then, you know, ultimately Vince, Tom and Elaine won over the other four. Dean, the other four. Karishma was basically with me and Aaron. Dean was just all over the place and didn't really commit to anyone. And the three, Elizabeth, Chelsea, and Missy, were kind of a thing. So they won them over when it came down to it at the end. And Elaine just won over the three other girls. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what basically happened out there. And there was a lot, you know, obviously a lot more that went down as well.
Right. When you went to that tribal council, did you feel like that it was going to be you or at least somebody from your group? Or did you think that you had the numbers still when you went to tribal?
So, you know, what you didn't see, Jeff asked, who feels safe today? And Aaron and Tom are the only ones who raised their hands. And then Jeff goes to me and goes, you know, why didn't you raise your hand, Ronnie? And I'm like, well, you know, unless my trad came down with fancy play syndrome, which we refer to in poker as something basically, you know, just like something doing something really unnecessary really early in your game, like voting somebody like myself out, which I thought probably was not going to happen. But I didn't feel safe going in because during lockdown and before, a little before lockdown, I could feel the vibes. I'm somebody who can feel that stuff pretty, you know, I'm very good at feeling out and being perceived that and knowing how people perceive me, perceiving how they perceive myself. Right. And I looked at Chelsea and she couldn't look me straight in the eye. She like looked down immediately as I looked at her from a distance. And I was like, oh my God. And that point was like lockdown. I couldn't talk. And same with Tom. Like I walked behind him before lockdown to have a conversation. And I guess he was speaking about me and he got spooked real quick, which I thought they were going to show. And I was like, Tom, what's up? And he was just like, I mean, he's another one who really couldn't compose himself in that moment and just, you know, shift and just talk like everything was all gravy. And I knew it wasn't. I knew something was up, you know, but like anything, if you're in tribal and you really know, like, hey, like it could be me and you just go off and start. And it really wasn't you at that particular, like, let's say I go there and I feel these vibes, right? And I'm like, guys, I know what's up. Look, I know you're voting me out today. Guys, listen, you're making a huge mistake. And in fact, it's not you. They can just switch the vote at that point. Like, yo, this dude is bugging. Like, let's get rid of him now. Why? Like, he's, And you've seen that in the past in some of the seasons, like where somebody's just paranoid, got the best of them, and they basically everybody's just in each other's ears like, listen, Ronnie's bugging. It was supposed to be Vince. It was supposed to, or either Elaine. Let's just get rid of Ronnie right now. Yeah. We can't work with this dude.
And if it is you, it doesn't necessarily work to pull that move either. So I want to talk to you about your relationship with Elaine, because it was very interesting. So we meet Elaine, easy character to root for. I think as a viewer, we see everything you see on the island, and you identify, hey, this looks like this could be the winner. This is somebody with her story. She gets to the end. Everybody's going to vote for her. But you have a conversation with her. What were you hoping to get out of that conversation when you took Elaine aside?
So, I mean, that was really, really early on. That was like, literally, that was the first, one of the first like one-on-one conversations I had besides with Aaron. Like, I actually was genuine as though it didn't look from like, even from my viewpoint and the viewer's viewpoint, I did look a little slimy. I looked a little disheveled, a little crazy, disingenuous, but like, honestly, like that was real, bro. I went up to her and said, listen, like, we need to work together. You know, I could see you've been through some hard things, and she said the same to me, that wasn't shown. She's like, you remind me of my brother, you know, man, like my little brother. I want to just snuff him every time I see him, but like, there's love here, you know, like she was saying that all to me. And I was like, yeah, and I was really feeling it. And that was real, actually. I meant it. And like, I wanted to work with the girl and have kind of like the side alliance, the side talk, and just let each other know when we're in trouble. And she got a really bad read on me. And that's the thing. In poker, people get really bad reads on me. In the poker world, Rob, I'm known as one of the most genuine, authentic, loving people. Literally hand me their newborn. They hand me hundreds of thousands of dollars. People use me
not
as a middleman,
right?
For like,
yeah.
Yeah. They literally like, I middleman negotiations saying like, hey, I vouch for everybody. Like, Ronnie, is this a guy who can be well trusted? And people use me as that middle ground to like, know if they can actually work with someone else. Like, that's my reputation in the poker world. Mm-hmm. So coming out there was really hard to be received in that light and just being off. But I knew it though, Rob. Yeah. I knew it, and I stated in a lot of my confessionals. I was like, these people aren't feeling me. I look like a Mongolian desert rat right now. You know, they're just looking at me like I'm crazy, and I have to go out there repair the relationships sooner or later. And I'm very aware of how I'm being perceived, and I know that it's off. And that's something I'm not used to that in my everyday life. Like, I'm the life of the party. I'm somebody who like gets along with everyone from all walks of life. And that's, it was hard, bro. It was really, really hard.
Can you talk a little bit about the decision, where you guys decided to go from Elaine to Vince?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, like you've seen everybody, me, Aaron and Karishma and Dean and a few others were like, yeah, she's very well liked, and we gotta get rid of her. This thing that you didn't see that other people said, you know, said similar things. And Vince was around for those conversations, right? So Vince was just all over the place, and he went over, like, we also talked about the challenge a lot more than was shown up, of course. And I said something along the lines, oh yeah, people like Chelsea, you know, Chelsea, Vince, and Dean were the ones who rose up to the puzzle, and obviously they punted. They did a terrible job with that puzzle. I mean, literal punt. I mean, it was like the worst thing. Like, first of all, we watched Chelsea just crumble. Vince was sitting there just like, like with this piece in his hand in the corner, like literally doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Dean was like, you know, the only one who actually tried, and Chelsea gave up like as she seen them get ahead, a little ahead, Chelsea just fell apart. So myself, Dean, and Aaron and others were like, yeah, Chelsea was a bit off. And I said, Chelsea was frazzled. That's the word I use. She gave up a bit. She was frazzled. And listen, when I got on that beach, Vince, I was -2 out the gate. I was 0-2 with Vince and Tom. They did not like my face. They liked nothing about me. And Vince, like, didn't go out. He went out there and didn't throw anybody else under the bus. But he kept saying, like, you've seen it a couple times. They showed, like, Ronnie. Right. Yeah, Ronnie. Like, he went out there, and as soon as I said Chelsea's name, he put in her head that I wanted her out, which was not the case. Obviously, I made a mistake. You never want to throw names out there that you have no intention of voting out. But we're just having conversation, and I thought we had, like, that little alliance of the five of – not an alliance. I mean, a conversation between the five of us, Missy, Karishma, me, Aaron, and Vince. Right. And that was where Vince ran off and was like, yeah, Chelsea, Ronnie says Ronnie wants you out. And he thinks that he's throwing your name out there. And Chelsea literally came up. She told somebody else that I put her name out there. It came back to me. I had a conversation with Chelsea. Like, look it, man. I was not throwing your name out there in that sense. We were just talking about the challenge. Vince has it out for me, as you see. And that's how the vote kind of went Vince's way with me and Aaron and Karishma. You know, and obviously Karishma last minute saved face. They trusted Karishma enough to say, look, we're voting Ronnie out. You got to get on our side. Obviously, they couldn't tell Aaron that because they seen how close we were. And thank God it wasn't unanimous. That would have been brutal. At least I had one guy on my side. Aaron. And a no vote.
All right. Speaking of that no vote, when Elizabeth comes back from the Island of the Idols, she tells you guys a fake story. And it didn't seem that believable, or it seemed like it was the exact ripoff of Ghost Island. Was there a lot of chatter around the tribe of, is this really what went on here?
Yeah, man. Like when you watched her tell her story about her experience at Island of the Idols, I was on my walk and I was doing a confessional. But when I got back, she took me aside and she told me the same story. And I just looked at her and I was like, this is bullshit. You know, like, come on, you know, but you know, you can't, you know, obviously, and you know, I know the rules. Yeah. I'm not going to say like you're bullshit and call her out, you know, one-on-one, of course. I just said, oh yeah, that's great. I mean, that's brutal. I'm sorry. I didn't have a chance to win. You went in an advantage to do something, but you know, it's good. You know, that you didn't, because you might've been, you know, it could have worked against you and what have you. We had a nice little conversation. I and Aaron and a few others were like, yo, let's throw heat on her at Tribal. Let's like talk about this at Tribal, you know, and it just never happened. Like they didn't even, we talked about it for a second at Tribal and then just the heat went off of her and I was pissed. And she had like an easy way out and nobody spoke about it at Tribal. And it's like she never even went anywhere. And you know, Elizabeth did a really good job at winning the tribe over, just a ball of energy with her hair and her infectious laugh. And she's just an amazing, amazing person. And, you know, hats off to her. She took no heat for that. And like, it's just amazing. I was just like, what the hell is going on here? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Ronnie, we're running out of time here, but I just want to say that I do hope that we have the opportunity to talk some more about your game and future seasons of the show.
I have so much to say, bro.
I believe it.
I have like, I could talk to you for hours about the game. And we actually met one time in Reno. You know, you came by me and you're like, so who's your favorite Survivor? I think it was like a question you had written out in your head. You asked everybody. And I'm like, Typhon. You're like, yeah, good talk. And you like walked away. It was funny. Yeah.
Was Rob there?
No, Rob wasn't there. Typhon was there. Adam Klein was there. It was about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
We met. You kind of like came up to me with a scripted question. It was hilarious. We made eye contact. We talked for a second and you're like, cool. And like we walked away. It was hilarious, but we'll talk more for sure in the future. Now that we
all right, I might have been drinking, Ronnie. About. Okay. All right.
No, you were, you were hammered. You were bad. Yeah.
All right, Ronnie, if it's any consolation, I think you're one of the least likely first people out of the game that the show's ever seen.
Huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge mistake. Thanks a lot, brother. We'll talk soon.
Take care, Ronnie. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Ronnie Barta, I don't recall the details of that story. I'd like to say that something was misconstrued, but I don't have all of the facts in front of me at this moment. So there you go. All right. First exit interview of the season. Happy to be back at the exit interview game after the season off on the Edge of Extinction, and really excited to get into everything later on today with Taryn, and then with Reem on Friday, and then, of course, with Josh in the Wiggle Room coming up. I know that Josh Wiggler has a lot of stuff from his time out on location. Of course, Josh was out there for those first 3 days. A lot of that is up at thr.com/survivor. You could hear what Josh had to say in his interview with Ronnie on his series, a regular podcast as well, that I believe was recorded out on location. If you want to go and check out what Josh has, I just want to also mention here at the start of the season, now is a great time to jump on board as a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. We are getting ready to do about what 6 shows a week about each Survivor episode between now and the end of the year. It is a great time. We've got a lot going on in our patron-only podcast feed. If you're new to the podcast, don't know what being a patron is, that's a way that our listeners can support. Rob has a podcast, and in return, we have a lot of great rewards that we offer, helping people get more connected with these shows that they love and the other fans around the world. We have a thriving patron Facebook community. We have a patron-only podcast feed where we do a number of patron shows a week with 5 years of archives of the patron shows available instantly when you become a patron. And then also we have a lot of different physical patron rewards like RHAP swag that we have for you. And we have a brand new promotion that we're trying out. Much like Island of the Idols, we like to try out something new. We have a brand new promotion that if you become a patron now for the first 2 weeks of the Survivor season, we are going to send you also the brand new RHAP pop socket, which you can use to hold your phone to take selfies. That I just added it on my phone. I don't know how I lived without it. It's a really cool thing. So we're going to send you a free gift. Sorry, don't mean to bring some big brother into your Survivor podcast, but we are going to get that out to you if you become a patron here at any level here at the first 2 weeks of the season. For our existing patrons, I've sent you a notice, a form on Patreon to be able to get it, because we want to take care of everybody who's been supporting us over the years. All right, so that's going to do it for us. I'm going to talk with Reem on Friday, so that's the next podcast. If you are a big brother fan, check out our Big Brother interviews and of course the know-it-alls and our coverage of the Big Brother 21 finale. Huge week here on RHAP. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website, .com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. This episode of Rob's Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories, like that ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. And while you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to True Car. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you could take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer is not available in all areas.